Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast in our summer series 21. All right, where we're showcasing the showcases, highlighting some of the best, whether they be ID camps, showcase events, or summer leagues. And in this case, very delighted to have with our on our show today, she is our first repeat offender, I should say, our first reoccurring guest on the podcast here on the 50-50 podcast, Coach Carol Walters from Bernie Champion. Coach, how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm excited to join you again. It's always a pleasure, and I'm excited to talk about what's going on in Bernie, as always.
Right, right. Sounds like you've been busy. So, the season... Seasons ended, school years ended, but I know you've been busy. Tell us a little bit before we start kind of diving in and highlighting this 6v6 Developmental Summer League. Tell us what you've been up to.
Well, we just had our Bernie ISD camp for ages, second graders through ninth graders. And we typically have about 75 to 100 students, and we had 150. And I don't know if it's just because people are, ready to do anything and everything to get out of the house now that there's a little more freedom, but we had so many kids and it was so exciting because we had so many alumni coming back to help with all the small groups that we had. And it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. And soccer is just continuing to really, just pick up steam and, become just the biggest sport in Bernie, I feel like, but I'm right. Biased, so I don't know.
Right. So it is your second time. It is your second time with us, but we may have some new listeners out there. Tell them, let's kind of give them a geographical snapshot. Where exactly is Bernie located?
So we're, about 20 minutes north of San Antonio, out on I-10, and so Hill Country, and it's becoming, San Antonio is becoming where it's just starting to eat up all the small towns, and right. We're still far enough out there where we consider it a small town, but it's a perfect distance from San Antonio. That's where a lot of our club players still, commute to go play. So,
right. Awesome. So, so let's talk about this, in our summer series here, we're trying to highlight, different, again, showcases, events, leagues, and yours is a bit unique because I think it's something me personally, something that I feel that should be kind of happening more throughout the state. Not saying that it isn't, but it's definitely not highlighted at all. I shouldn't say enough, but really at all. And that's where we come into play here. That's where we kind of wanted to have you on today and discuss a little bit about, the genesis of this league, and where it stands right now, especially coming out of as we transition out of a pandemic and kind of where it's headed. But first off, tell us why, the 6v6 league, summer league, why was this event created?
Well, this idea really came straight from Heather Boss when I was at Brandeis. I think in 2008, I was her assistant at Brandeis, and she ran 6v6 there in Northside ISD in the summer, and it was just a huge hit. It was such a there was so much involvement and it was such a positive experience, I think, for everybody in it. And so I watched her run that for a couple years. I ran something similar when I was at San Antonio Christian for a few years. We did that. And then when I came out to Bernie 4 years ago, I came out at the same time Clifton Tierney, the boys coach, came to Bernie from Bandera. And he and I got together and said, when summer came around and we both kind of had a little bit of experience with it, and we said, yeah, let's do this. And I think that, right now, I think this past weekend, I know that ECNL still had some events going, but typically in June, there's not there's not a lot of organized club and games going on. And so kids can't to continue to play are really having to go to ID camps, or, you know, there are some kids that go to any and every camp, right? You know, at universities and stuff like that. Not everybody has the financial means, you know, to do that or the time to do that. And so this summer league is an opportunity for kids to, number one, be able to get touches on the ball and to continue to play, but in an environment that is just purely really for the enjoyment of the game. And there is very little pressure. There's we really discourage coaching. We don't tolerate any kind of, you know, real negativity on the field, because it is just about getting out there and playing the beautiful game. And so we have, so anyway, Clifton and I got together and said, yeah, let's do this. And there's different, I've seen different forms of it. There's 7v7 and 6v6. And I can't remember, I think in Northside, we might've been doing 7v7, but for whatever reason, we decided to go with 6v6. And, you know, you've got 12 kids on the field and one ball. And so more touches on the ball. It's sideline to sideline. So there's lots of shooting, which is what kids want to do anyway, right? Is shoot as much as possible. You have kids rotating in positions they haven't typically played before, because their team may not have a lot of defenders, you know, and I see defenders playing forwards, and it's just having a good time with it. So I really, you know, this is not, something, you know, I obviously came up with it. It's definitely from experience, seeing other people do it, see it be successful, and yeah, just making it available to the kids.
Right now, so my understanding, it's not confirmed, but my understanding is that I believe maybe SAISD, San Antonio ISD, may have or used to have, I think, a 7v7 summer league as well. But to the best of your knowledge, is there anyone else that's currently having this in the greater San Antonio area?
Not that I know of, for sure. And again, that there may be, but not that I know of. Kerrville was going to come down with a team with Tyvee, and I think they decided to do a league in Kerrville. So I don't know what league they were doing or okay, what they decided to do there. But I mean, 2 years ago before COVID, the last time we had 6v6, we had teams, we had Harlandale coming, you know, all the way up from South San Antonio. Right. And we had Wagner coming from East San Antonio, quite a ways. So I think if there were leagues closer to them, they probably would have done that. But it was the only one I think available at that time.
Right. Okay. So, and we'll talk into as far as format and some of those technical questions in a bit. But what, you know, so you've been doing this now for 4 years, obviously, minus a year of the shutdown last year. But what sort of, when you look back on it through the years, what sort of success can you kind of put your finger on that your program has experienced from this particular, you know, 6v6 summer league?
My program, like champion program specifically.
Correct.
Well, when we started, I think we had one or two girls teams, maybe two or three boys teams from champion, and all the rest of the teams that we had were bringing in. This year, I mean, I fielded very easily four teams from champion, and I think that's just an indicator of the kids just hearing what an enjoyable environment it is and really wanting to do it and make it a priority in their summer. And the boys as well have had a lot more involvement. One of the things that I do with it is, since I did have enough for four teams, and I had a lot of, we opened it up to the incoming freshmen. And so I had, at least 12 freshmen, I think, who wanted to be a part of it. And so what I did was I scattered them throughout the teams with the older players. And so it's been a really neat way to bring freshmen into the program and get to play with the sophomores, juniors, seniors. And then those players also get to see these freshmen and see what they can do and develop a little bit of relationship. So you've got some team bonding, you know, and some onboarding, I guess, before the school year even starts. Nice. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's in addition to probably your summer strength and conditioning program, that helps those incoming freshmen or transfers get acclimated that much quicker. Right. So that's good. Absolutely. That's good. Now tell us a little bit. So that's from your perspective, maybe your program's perspective or the Bernie Champion perspective. Right. But what's been some of the feedback over the years and maybe even this year, especially since, again, we're transitioning out of a pandemic, but what's been some of the feedback you've received from other coaches maybe and other players from other programs that are participating in your league?
Well, I can say it's, I think, almost 100% positive. Everyone loves it. The coaches seem really appreciative for the organization of it. And when word gets around, and we don't have to spread the word very far because we end up with more interest than we can even really accommodate. And so once word gets out, you know, that we're opening it up, registration and stuff like that, you know, the coaches, the local coaches are really scrambling to make sure that their kids get a team. It's just been really, really positive. I heard a comment the other day when we were out there from a parent behind me in the stands that just said, "Wow, it feels like everybody I've ever known in Bernie soccer is out here tonight," you know? And that was really cool because it's not just Champion and Bernie High. You've also got Geneva, you know? So there's a lot of kids that play for local private schools that these kids, they started together, you know, on academy teams. And so they know each other, but they kind of go their separate ways. And so I think it's really neat for the parents too, because all the parents are seeing the parents they used to sit on the sidelines with. And it's just a great environment.
Nice. That's awesome. That's good. So it kind of acts as a uniter for the community as well, right? Keeps kids out of trouble during the summer, which we all know is a must. Yeah. So awesome. So that's great in terms of getting that feedback from parents as well. So I know you first kind of saw this or experienced this, as you said, at Brandeis, but you also kind of got it off the ground when you were at SACS, at San Antonio Christian. Did you notice in your time there to hear from the private school sector to the public school side, any differences in terms of whether format, size of the league, any differences that you noticed as far as when you were in your time at San Antonio Christian on the private school side versus now?
I think it was a little bit more difficult to get teams involved, to pull in public schools, to that league for whatever reason. And it might be that during that time too, that Northside might've still had theirs going on. I can't remember, but it was kind of up and down. And some years we would have more than we could accommodate. And then in some years I was like, where is there? Nobody wanted to play soccer that summer, you know, like, so it was kind of a little more inconsistent. But what I don't miss is creating the 6v6 fields on the outfield of the baseball field, which is where we had to play on some of them, and making those right angles, you know. Baseball field was never fun. I dreaded that.
Yeah.
Just every May.
Yeah, I bet. So no use of the football field. You had to play it on the baseball softball field. Is that right? When you were there?
I think so. And I can't remember why, but yeah, that's the space we gave it. Right. You're given. So we made it work.
Yeah. So have you seen overall, Have you seen a better consistency in terms of numbers and interest over the last couple of years compared to maybe when you first started? Like, was there a point where it hit a consistency level in terms of interest level regarding the summer league?
Yes, the first year we thought we were doing great because we, I think we did games from 6 o'clock to, what did we do? 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock or something like that. And we had all our field space that we could accommodate. You know, we had everything packed and we were kind of a full schedule. And then the next year was when people found out, you know, or, and what happened was as soon as we started playing Tuesday nights, you know, people would hear and people would cut and just people started showing up. Can I play? Can I play? Can I play? And so the next year, the people already had an idea of what was going on. And then we had to expand our hours a little bit and start earlier and go later. And right now, like we're kind of, you know, maxed out for the hours that we're willing to be there. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty hot at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're trying not to have to go that early.
Tad bit hot. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just continued to go up consistently.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, so for the coaches that may be listening, may have thought about this idea, we're going to kind of nerd out here a little bit in terms on, you know, just format, field dimension, what the lessons learned, the things you've realized that have worked for you versus maybe not have worked for you. Give us a little bit in terms of your timeline, right? Your timeline as far as creating the league, when you announce the league, sharing it, how do you share it? Is it through social media? Is it just through email, word of mouth? When do you kind of open up registration? When do you cut it off? And what have you noticed as your set amount of teams on? Because we're talking about two divisions here. We're talking about a boys division and a girls division. So kind of those details, coach, for the coach that may be listening, maybe across the state and has thought about this, but doesn't quite know where to start. Give us some of those details.
So I think, you know, the first thing is just creating, you know, your paperwork, your registration, right? And something that has on it an explanation of what this is. And it's got to be really clear. I think coming out of the gate that these teams are not intended to be coached. These teams should be player led. This is, you know, a fun summer league, and that kind of thing. And then just basic rules, you know, so people know what they're getting into. So you create that. And then at the end of, you know, like after the state tournament, once high school soccer is kind of wrapped up, I think any point, after that, you can start getting word out. And you start with your own team, you know, you start with your team and talk to your players and find out who would be interested in that kind of thing and kind of get a feel for how many teams your program can have, because you need to know how many teams you can accommodate. You want to make sure your teams get in there first. And then it's just networking through other coaches that are in your area. You know, with us, you know, we reach out to the coaches in the Hill Country area, and the teams that we maybe typically play anyway, the teams that you like having the best, you know, the competition with, you know, the kid, there are teams that your school likes to play or gets jazzed about playing. And so, right. You know, reach out to those teams that, you know, your kids are going to be excited about playing and that's going to be good competition. And reach out to those coaches. Now, some coaches, you know, are real good about going to their players, saying, you guys need to do this, talking it up and, you know, collecting registrations or whatever. And then there's some coaches that really are like, I don't want to deal with anything, organizing anything with my team over the summer, which is fine. But you'll find also like kids will come out of the woodwork. And there was a girl from Bandera High School, and Bandera girls have come out every year for this league. Some years they kind of struggled to have numbers, But there was a girl who found out we were having the league again this year, and she's going to be a junior, I think. And she, you know, got a hold of me and was like, you know, we want to have a team. What do I need to do? And I gave her the information, and she just hustled her butt like week after week trying to pull in all these girls to play. And they ended up with 13 girls on their team, which is amazing. And so sometimes it's players who will kind of take the lead, if not coaches. But and then went so. So here's the thing. So we had to, organizing it is a chore. I mean, I'm kind of a spreadsheet nerd. So I try to, as the registrations are coming in, I put together the teams, and try to really watch the numbers. And this is where it gets tricky, because I don't want my teams to have more than like 12 players, because then they're 22 minute halves. So they're short games, and you don't want players sitting, you know, for right. half of a 44 minute game. So, so I kind of watch those numbers, and there are, if a certain school or group is putting together a team and it's like growing and growing and growing, I'm like, okay, I know we need to have to, like Geneva did that. Where, okay, we've got to have two Geneva teams. There's just so many kids that keep registering. So we cut it off, I want to say mid-May for registration, or maybe even early May. Not that we didn't have some continue to slip in there, but I actually had a Google form and I had to disable it, because I was like, you know, all these people want to come in last minute, especially when it gets close. Right. And you don't, again, you want it to be a good experience for the kids, and you don't want them to get out there and now, you know, everybody's got a huge roster sitting on the sideline, you know? So we try to kind of cut it off and then go, okay, if teams want an extra player or are willing to take an extra player, we'll do it. But we kind of have to cut it off. And for those players who don't get word, it's tough, because people, you know, we always get like moms that go, oh, my kid didn't know about it or whatever. And I think as far as communication, the only thing I put out there, I think I did once or twice put something out on Twitter. But because the demand is so high, we don't have to do, other than kind of our networking, we don't have to do a lot of advertising, you know.
Right. So how do you, so a couple of quick things in terms of the details. So you don't put a cap on a roster, even though it's a 66, one team can show up with 20 kids if they wanted. Is that?
And how
How do you enforce rosters? I guess a check-in, is it pre-check-in with the referee, official? How do you do that?
We try to do that kind of the first week. The first week we try to have, you know, check and see who's showing up for what team and making sure everybody is registered. After the first week, you know, we sometimes have a couple slip in there, and we just kind of, a lot of the teams, a lot of the kids we know, and the kids will come and say, hey, this person, you know, what wasn't supposed to play. And we just kind of, and you know, it's kind of a case by case scenario, because sometimes teams legitimately have a lot out of town and they need this guest player or whatever. And so we'll have them pay a guest pit player fee or something like that. But I always talk to the kids that are kind of the leaders on the team and say, you know, do you really need an extra player? Do you really want an extra player? You know, because we don't want, especially when you have freshmen coming in, them getting pushed to the side, you know, and saying, oh, you know, you can be the sub. We don't want that experience for them. So we just kind of keep an eye on it. But it's pretty laid back. I mean, again, the whole concept is like, we're here to have a good time. And
Right.
Like awesome. Pick up.
Right, yeah. Right. So how many, in terms of the numbers, what you can tell us that you know off the top of your head, what are total, I guess, right now, just in terms of total number of teams across both divisions, right? Total number of teams and maybe total number of schools that are represented right now in your league this year.
I know we have 190 players. There are 10 boys teams and 10 girls teams. The boys have two divisions. They have JV and they have varsity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really smart because especially freshman boys have so much more development to do that there can be a big disparity, you know, in a freshman boy and a senior boy. With girls, you know, we don't see that as much. And so, you know, there's not as much need to create two divisions. So we just have one girls division and two boys divisions. We have, for the boys, we have Bernie High, we have Champion, we have Geneva, we have Brandeis from San Antonio. Who else? And Champion ended up with so many teams as well. I think those are the only schools represented in the boys league, but there are a lot of Champion teams, and then Bernie and Champion also do alumni teams. So we allow them to do that. And then on the girls side, we've got Champion, Bernie, we've got Geneva, we've got Antonian, we've got Bandera. And I think that's it right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So the concept is to play the league just for the month of June, if I understand that correctly. Correct.
Yeah.
And that's, So that's Tuesdays. So is there a kind of playoff at the end of June? Is it point accumulation? How do you run hours, or there's no, we just play each other and that's it.
We just play each other and that's it. We have a great group of officials who pretty much commit to the 4 weeks. You know, we usually have the same group of refs out there each week, and we kind of laugh because the first week they're always like, okay, do you need us to report all the scores? And I'm like, no, like we don't, you know, we don't care. But you know, but the experience refs from this league will be like, but you better keep score because they're going to ask. They always ask. And even sometimes the moms come ask, what was the score? What was the score?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, the kids are keeping score. But from week to week, we don't, you know, and I think that it creates a different kind of game and a different kind of environment in that, like that, just that not keeping score and not playing for a final tournament, because one of the things I see out there is just, or hear when you're out there, is so much laughing on the field. You know, kids just playing the game, making mistakes, and then just laughing at themselves, laughing at each other, you know, and where when something is on the line, you don't always have that, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
And so I think that really adds a really positive element to it.
So I know you said coaching isn't encouraged. Is it an actual no coaching rule, or is it just kind of you leave it as is by each team?
In our rules, it says no coach. There is to be no coaching, right? Okay. We have, but having said that, sometimes there are coaches out there with their team and they're watching their kids play. And sometimes they'll talk to them, you know, and we'll have kids say, oh, there's not supposed to, you know, but again, we're just not trying to be legalistic about it. Especially when you have players who have a good relationship with their coach and they are having a conversation. There's no yelling, there's no, you know, berating or anything like that. As long as, you know, that's the case, then we're good with it.
Right. So I know we talked about 6v6. I imagine part of that, just it's kind of preference. And what, five outfield players plus a keeper, I imagine. And then, what does it look like? You know, a team shows up, they're playing their game. Do you split your field, your football / soccer field in half, and you have two games going simultaneously? Or what does it look like? And is it like one game every, what, 45 minutes? Or how does that work? What does that look like?
Yeah, we play on the hour. We start now at 5:30. We initially started at 6. Now we start at 5:30. So every hour, at the half hour, we start a new game. And with our turf, we have three fields set up. And basically, you know, 35 yard width, sideline to sideline, with big goals or flat goals, whatever, you know, we can use. We actually had to use some 9v9 goals from Bernie FC this year on one of our fields. But then we have a grass field. So on the grass field, we have two fields set up down there. And so it's a little bit of a walk from site to site that kids may have to go from one field to the other. But so we have a total of 5 6v6 fields going at a time. And we start, like I said, on the half hour. It's 22 minute halves. I think it's like a two to five minute halftime. And then, you know, they do the other 22 and then it's the next one. And
nice. So your last game starts under the lights at 8 PM, I'm assuming. Yeah.
9:30. Now our last game starts at 9:30. So we're not done until 10:30. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like I said, we've had to really stretch it.
Wow. Yeah, that's more fields than I thought you were going to say that you had. I was thinking two, maybe three that you had going simultaneously, but yeah, up to five, right? Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's a lot more than I thought. So that's good. So supplemental staff, what have you found works best? Support staff. I mean, you're out there. I'm assuming, you know, your men's soccer coach is out there. Maybe an athletic trainer. What else do you have out there in terms of making sure things run seamlessly every Tuesday?
We have the refs who are just, like I said, you know, a great group of guys who are committed and they help out in any and every way that we need, whether it's, you know, hey, for the first game, you know, we've got to pull out the goals and, you know, I'm not going to push all those full size goals out there before the game. So, you know, if you've got a 5:30 game, you know, we're like, hey, grab the goal, pull it out, you know, so we've got to start with that. But the refs help kind of get the kids engaged and get them going on time if they need to. And that's it. I mean, that's it. We have, you know, our school supports us, our athletic department supports us, you know, and letting us use the lights in the bathrooms. And so, when we're all done at 10:30 at night, the custodians come out and they're, you know, to shut up the and clean up the bathrooms and everything. But that's it.
You've been getting a pretty good turnout in terms of just your viewers, whether it be parents, other coaches, whatnot. Has it been pretty good so far?
Yeah. It really is. Like I said, a really great environment and a cool kind of park feel with all those people out there and having that same common bond, you know, especially with the parents, you know. So it's really, yeah, it's a great turnout. The one thing that we haven't been able to do that I tried to do 2 years ago and it fell through is like bring a food truck. Like if we could get a food truck out there, that would be next level, you know, because there's so many people, I think that it would do really well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, did you just let that die or are you still maybe considering that for the future possibly?
Yeah. I just need to find, you know, the right person that's willing to go out there. I just haven't had the right connections, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That might be enough to entice, another program because that's coming into San Antonio. So a food truck might be just enough to entice him to want to get his program out there as well. So, but I won't mention any names though. So, all right. So there's your location. You have 5 fields, 6v6. We talked about the numbers, and obviously with coaches, we know we want to be respectful of you all in particular hosting it. We want to be respectful of your time. And the last thing we want is for you all to be out there on multiple dates, right? So was there a particular reason on one why you really ultimately settled on Tuesday? Or was that just kind of the day that kind of best fits your schedules? But also, you know, have you all ever considered another date, a secondary date, or maybe a secondary location in a partnership, maybe with another school that if they're ever interested?
Yeah, we've definitely thought about doing Thursdays, but then again, yeah, it is a work issue. But I think I don't know how much that would affect attendance and involvement, because I think once a week, you know, Tuesday nights, and Tuesday's a night where a lot of times if people are going to travel with their family, it's going to be the end of the week, you know, if they're going to go out of town. So Tuesday's a little bit safer as far as people being in town. But it's also less of a weekly commitment. So if teams are traveling from other places, then, you know, that's like, for example, when we had Tyvee or Spar San Antonio to come up to Bernie twice a week might discourage them. So once a week, I think is seems to be the perfect amount that just kind of gives everybody enough to want more, you know, and not feel like they're having to trudge out there, you know, more than they want to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I only asked the second date in particular for if you ever wanted to give yourself room to grow, right? More teams, more schools. Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, no,
we definitely have talked about that. And when we start getting all these, you know, numbers and people showing interest, it's something we definitely have talked about, but it's also something where like we would have to make that decision before we put out the information, you know, because we don't want to have everybody register for Tuesday night league and then go, oh, by the way, now you're gonna have to come on Thursday, you know. So I don't know, but not yet.
Okay. Good. What have you noticed about, you know, obviously we're coming out of a pandemic and kind of looking at pre-COVID to now, the previous season pre-COVID, what have you noticed about, is there anything you've noticed about this year's league in particular compared to previous ones? Have you noticed anything different?
You know, kind of like our summer camp, we had a lot more numbers coming out of the gate. And I think that's just indicative of people wanting to be involved and if there's something going on, they want to be a part of it because they haven't been able to be a part of something, you know, for so long. So, there was something I was thinking about, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know. I lost it, but, I can't think of anything really that has changed that much from like 2 years ago when we did it.
Okay. All right. Have you had any discussions or thoughts? I know we briefly hit on it as far as expanding your league as far as in the future, you know, kind of in a partnership with another, like I said, another league or school, whatever you want to call it, or just, you know, discussions and your thoughts on maybe other leagues having this same concept there in the greater San Antonio area. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think that if you were to partner, it would be, I think there's a way to do it and possibly get access to more teams that way. Right. To where, like I said, we have, I mean, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 boys champion teams. Right. So there's a lot of nights where they're playing other champion teams. Right. But if you did have a partnership with let's say, a 6v6 league going on in San Antonio, and we could, you know, mix the schedules so that, none of those champion teams had to play each other. They could be playing, you know, sometimes they would have to go to San Antonio. Sometimes those teams would have to go to Bernie, and then you could have a bigger pool of teams and play players that you haven't seen before. So I think that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. No, yeah, that's a great point that you bring up there. So, you know, for our coaches, maybe listening, even players really, but around the state, you know, why should more schools, you know, coaches, players, whatever, why should more schools and areas around the state of Texas consider a summer, whatever number, 6v6, 7v7, whatever, but why should they consider this?
Well, I think that if you love the game and you want your kids to love the game and continue remembering why they play the game, I think it's a gift to them, number one, because they don't always get this environment. They don't always get to play, like I said, and to make mistakes and have it mean nothing, you know, and just to laugh it off. And so I think you do it, number one, for your players and for your community, and because you can, you know, because you have that ability to organize that. So I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing, like I said, depending on your socioeconomic group, you're giving players an opportunity to play in an organized fashion that might not otherwise have any other means to play, you know, if they're not going to ID camps or this, that, and the other. You're giving them an opportunity to play. I mean, we charge $35 a player, and probably going to have to go up next year because the insurance that we have to pay for whatever reason for soccer tripled this year.
Oh, wow.
I don't, and our insurance agent really wasn't able to give us any real reason for that. But he said, I don't understand it. It's gone up for all sports, but for soccer, it's like skyrocketed. So you have to cover insurance. And so like we're probably going to have to go up in charging, but still, I mean, $35 a player, four nights of games. They play two games every night. So they get eight games basically. For that, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know, for our student athletes or some of our parents that may be listening, I know it's not a cash cow. It's not a moneymaker for you all. When you factor in, you know, those fees, what do they go towards? Right. They go towards, obviously, you got to pay, you know, it's usually whether it's staff, you know, custodian, supplemental staff that have to be paid, or if not, also we talked about officials, obviously, you know, they have to be paid. And then, yeah. And then the liability, the insurance piece as well. So, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's very important to hit on those things because, you know, the question always gets asked is like, hey, well, why do I have to pay? Why is there a fee? What do the fees go towards? So yeah, no, it's a great point. You know, and the other thing too, is like, I think you hit on something great in terms of fostering, you know, the love of the game. And also there's something that can be said about allowing your players to play in a setting, you know, just our student athletes in general, being able to play in a freestyle / street soccer style setup where it encourages creativity, right? It encourages, you know, just that what we want in our players and that ability to be able to improvise. And of course, it's a lot of fun and laughing. So that's very important. I'm glad to hear that. So as we start transitioning here, coaching, we start wrapping up, you know, the big one here, I'll put you kind of on the spot and we get ready to wrap up here. Where you look at this league and you look at how it's developed, how it's grown, how it's helped your program, the feedback you've gotten from other players, other parents, other coaches, where do you hope to go with it in the future?
I think it's working just fine. And it is, there's definitely places we can go and room to grow, but I think it's probably at where it's going to be outside of what you brought up, which I think is a really cool idea of combining schedules with another 6v6 league where we can get you know, access to other teams to play, which might require us to do more traveling, other teams to do more traveling. I think that is one definite possibility and something to look into. But I don't really think that we'll expand to do two nights a week. Of course, you know, I guess never say never. That could happen. But I think that it's where it needs to be. You know, it's doing what it's supposed to do, and we're not gonna fix what's not broken, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. I can definitely understand that. Well, Coach, this is, you know, really great having you on again. As I mentioned, you're the first, you know, I was jokingly, of course, I mentioned the repeat offender, but you're the first guest to rejoin us, to be a reoccurring guest here on the show, on the podcast. Big fan of yours, what you're doing down in Bernie Champion. And I know, you know, just again, for reasons like this, fostering the love of the game and doing things where, you know, there's nothing that says that, you know, you and your counterpart on the men's side there for Bernie Champion have to be doing this, right? But from a couple of coaches just giving more of their time and also, you know, and, you know, obviously coordinating certain aspects, you're allowing, that's 190, you know, that's 190 student athletes that are, you know, staying out of trouble, you know, staying active, getting more opportunities to re-socialize with their, you know, with their friends and their teammates, which is very important coming out of this pandemic. So really love that you're doing this. And part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is for that very reason, is because I think I personally would love to see more of this kind of happening throughout the state. Obviously, does it require some sacrifice? Does it require some coaches and some people to give of their time? Of course, it goes without saying. As coaches, we know that's what we do inevitably. Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to highlight this, because, you know, I'd love to see more of this kind of coming up in different parts of the state for sure. So, all right, Coach, before we wrap up here and get going, any final thoughts, anything you wanted to share with our listeners?
Well, I wanted to tell you, I went to the U.S. Women's National game in Austin the other night.
Nigeria, nice.
That brand new stadium, the Q2 Stadium. And it was so awesome. And it was just so cool to be in that environment where nobody was in masks. It was, you know, but it was wall to wall people. And it was just like back to normal. And it was such just positive energy and, you know, soccer bringing everybody together. And there was a family in front of us who was from Nigeria, or the dad, the mom and dad were, but the mom was wearing a USA jersey and the dad was in Nigerian garb. And, you know, there were some girls sitting next to us who were smack talking back and forth, but, you know, but it was all in total fun. And, they did the wave all the way around the stadium and everybody went crazy. And it was just like, oh, I just love soccer. And I just, you know, it was such a great environment. So anyway, but if you get a chance to go though to that new stadium, it's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Did you, any of your girls from the program get to attend as well that you know of?
No, I don't think so. I don't think any of them went. I actually went with Alexis Fredrickson, who was one of my players at San Antonio Christian way back. And she was an all-state defender, and she's now the assistant coach at Bernie High. And so we got to go together, and it's so cool.
Did I see her? Did I coach against her when I was coaching against you?
I think yes, yeah. Probably.
The name rings a bell, but you'd probably have to show me a face or tell me a jersey number or something to remember.
Yeah.
The name rings a bell for sure. So awesome. Well, Coach, this has been great again. Love having you on. Look forward to kind of picking your brain some more on this, and, you know, and also finally being able to maybe at some point talk with you as, you know, the 50-50 podcast and the Cano family arrive there in San Antonio in a few weeks. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Definitely looking forward to it. And again, big fan of what you're doing. Appreciate your time. Keep doing great things here with this league and extending, you know, my absolute best to your counterpart, you know, your men's soccer coach as well. So love what you guys are doing. Love what it's about. And look forward to this in the future.
Awesome. All right. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Coach. Again, for our listeners. So again, you can find us, you can find this obviously live on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at 50_50pod. Also on Instagram at 50_50podcast. And then of course this live broadcast also on YouTube. Just simply look up the 50_50podcast. So thank you again for all our listeners. Thank you for your support. And until the next time, keep downloading, and keep listening.